Okay. Anyway, let's get started here. Okay, I have to read this. Someone just gave me 4 pages printouts from Rabbi Kinarik, but I didn't get to read it. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to go ahead and to dedicate this vow a little bit to Rabbi Kinarik. For those who know, Rabbi Kinarik was Nifter today or last night, and exactly the Levaya was this morning. Regretfully, we missed it. The Levaya was about 6 in the morning. They didn't tell us. I went to sleep last night. They told you there'll be details about the Levaya, and then this morning I woke up, it was already over. So anyway, so but you can still, so I wanted to talk a little bit about Rabbi Kinarik. Rabbi Kinarik, it's a little scary to me. I was learned with Rabbi Kinarik, it was Talmud 50 years ago. Scary, because it's a long time. I don't think myself so old. But I was learned 50 years ago. And then I was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael for 14 years. I was with him also. So I just wanted to focus on one thing about Rabbi Kinarik, because I don't want to really make a hesper on Rabbi Kinarik. I want to talk about Avad. But I want to talk about just start with one thing, which is introduction to the Avad. What happened was, I was 50 years ago, whatever it was, my father had a sabbatical to go to Israel. My father was a rabbi in Israel for himself, and he had a sabbatical to go to Israel. I had just gotten into the blotcher, and there was no equivalency of blotcher in Israel, in Chofetz Chaim in Israel. So I had no intention of going to Chofetz Chaim in Israel. I was going to go to a different yeshiva. I probably would never have been in Chofetz Chaim after that, right? So Rabbi Shaya Kohn, who is a Chashuva person, so I don't know if he did this, just made this up or not. So he was then learning in Israel, because the yeshiva went to Israel in 67. I was still in high school. And there were 3 Kolo fellow people who stayed in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. There was Rabbi Harris, Rabbi Yoel Edelman, and Shaya Kohn. They were there that year. And Shai was in America a little bit. He met me in America, and he said, I hear you're going to Eretz Yisrael, but I said, well, there's no shir for me. He said, I have an eitz for you. Rabbi Kinarik likes to prepare a shir with someone. I don't know if that was true or not, or Rabbi Kohn made that up. So this is a golden opportunity. You can learn Rabbi Kinarik and prepare a shir with him. And I said, okay, what do I do with the rest? And the rest of the day, since there are 3 Kolo guys, so I don't have a chavrusa, so you can learn with me bekiyas. So that sounded really good. So that's how I ended up in Chofetz Chaim. So I learned with Rabbi Kohn, Bekiyas Seder. And then I prepared share with Rabbi Kinarik. And then later, Moshe Chait also asked me to prepare a share with him. So I prepared a share with both of them. So I had a very nice man. But I want to get to Rabbi Kinarik part of the story. So Rabbi Kinarik part of the story was, so I was supposed to learn Rabbi Kinarik during night Seder. In those days, Israel served the main meal during lunch because they went on the Israeli system. So lunch was a fleishig meal. Now they switched it. And therefore they had a supper was late. So night Seder did not start till, I don't know, probably night supper started probably at 7:30, maybe a little later. And night Seder started first at 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I learned with Rabbi Kinarik for night Seder. So we were learning, I'd say, from 9 to 11 every night. So the first night, basically probably the first night, Rabbi Kinarik, those who knew Rabbi Kinarik liked to, when he thought, he liked to play with his beard and close his eyes. He was thinking, so what's pshat? Okay, so anyway, that's how he did it. So the first night we're learning, and Rabbi Kinarik does his typical Rabbi Kinarik. So what's pshat? I was like shocked. I never in my life saw a person fall asleep in the middle of a sentence. So what's pshat? So Rabbi Kinarik wakes up. So I said, okay, I'm sorry, the Rebbe's so tired. I'll go. No, don't go, no, it's okay. He wakes up about a minute. We learn another 15 minutes. Happens again. And this happened like a few times. Finally, after around 4 or 5 times, okay, I think you better go. I'm a little tired. Next day, same thing. First day, it happened every day, basically. A few times in the middle of the learning, you would fall asleep. But without that, oh, I'm tired, I have to go put my head down, right? It's the middle of learning. So then, now I couldn't understand why he's so tired. It's only like 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock, you know. He comes over to me after about 2 weeks and says, you know, it's hard for me to learn Ian at night. I'm a little tired. Would I mind learning with him at 5:30 in the morning? So we actually had our Seder with Switch. We started learning at 5:30 in the morning. I had to get my own dorm room in the dormitory because I had to go to sleep early because I couldn't wake up to sleep at, get up at 5:30 without waking up, going to sleep early. So I got a private suite, special yichus, and I would go, but he stayed up later than I was sleeping with a Seder. He would have had a Seder with someone else, Bikias. He made a different chavrusa to learn Bikias from every night till 11 or whatever, I don't know to what time. And 5:30, he was already in the yeshiva, which means he was already dressed and, you know, walked to the yeshiva, which wasn't, you know, it was probably a 15-minute walk from his house. And he was already ready to go. 5:30 in the morning every day. So we learned Ian for the whole year. And he was learning Bikias. And I asked the guy who was learning with Bikias, did he fall asleep on you? He says, sure, every night. Every night. So that's Hasmada. Right? That's about it. Rabbi Knarik was a tremendous masmid. It's a chiddush a little bit because even when you have masmidim in yeshiva, many masmidim, they fizzle out. In other words, when you're 18, 19, it's easy to be a masmid. But when you're doing it for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you know, you fizzle out. Rabbi Knarik was just like, he just kept on going. He was like the, you know, basically the Motzoi Shabbos, everyone would leave the Beis Medrash, the only one sitting there. You know, like he was just, I remember, this is also a true story. Just there was a time, this was later when I was a Rebbe there, that Rabbi Knarik was having a very serious operation. I don't remember what it was on, I don't remember, but it was a serious operation. So the operation was in the hospital in Ein Karen. Ein Karen, Hadassah Ein Karen, that you have to know though, but it's way out in the sticks. It's like way out in the sticks somewhere. It's about an over in, my mother, Ava Shalom, was in that hospital also, and I used to go visit her every day. It used to take me about over an hour by bus. And I'm a fast, you know, somehow switching, whatever. But it's a real trip. It's a very big trip. People say, I don't know, whatever, we don't get into it. Why? That, I mean, it makes, a lot of people say it was like the craziest thing in the world that they built the hospital, because the hospital is supposed to be next to the city. And it's, you know, they say that so many patients have died on the way to the hospital because it's out in the sticks of nowhere. But other people say it's beautiful, it's a, you know, it's away from the city. Okay, it's a machlekes, whether it's a good or bad thing. It depends if you like Ben-Gurion or if you don't like Ben-Gurion. What?
Is it worth the casualty?
Right, it depends. You know, Ben-Gurion is the one that decided to build it there. So it depends. If you, people who like him say it was brilliant. The people who don't like him say it was, you know, he was on a nature walk and he fell in love in a beautiful mountain. But okay, anyway, but the mice, that's where he was in this hospital, Hadassah Ein Karen. So Rabbi Knarik went in, had this hospital, and he went in, and we went to visit him in the hospital. Okay? The next day, we're in the Beis Medrash. Who shows up for Seder? Rabbi Knarik. I say, what in the world are you doing here? You know, like, he said, well, they had me a few days for the preliminary getting ready for the operation, and all the blood tests and everything. Meanwhile, the actual operation is not till tomorrow. So I have a few hours in the middle. So there's no reason to sit there. They finish all the preliminary tests. And the operation is not till tomorrow, so I'm not doing anything. So I left. I said, you mean they let you check out? He said, of course not, but I didn't, my clothes are in the closet. I took off my hospital robe, I put on my clothes, and I walked out the door. So he said, so why didn't you go home? He says, what's the point to go home? I'm going to do it at home. So he sat on the yeshiva. He was there for the whole Seder. It was afternoon Seder. At the end of the Seder, he went back down to the bus stop and he took a bus back to the hospital. That was just typical of a Kinetic. Anyway, So very obviously, he was a tremendous masmid. There are other midas too, Rabbi Kanani, they're very unusual, but I want to talk about hasmada. Now, there's a big problem when we talk about hasmada. I'm sure many of you people already know this. There's a giant machlekes in the yeshiva. Do we talk about hasmada or don't we talk about hasmada? Right? This is one of the biggest machlekes, depending on who you ask. One hand, we should talk about hasmada because hasmada is such an, you know, every gadol probably was a super masmid. If you want to be able to reach a high level of learning, you probably got to be a masmid. That's just the way it is. So you got to talk about hasmada. On the other hand, there is, regretfully, there have been cases, not that frequent, but there have been cases of people that have suffered damage, so to speak, from being overly hasmada. They get what we call burnout. And they get more than just burnout. They get sometimes a mamish, you know, worse than burnout. They, you know, nervous breakdowns and all kinds of bad, unhealthy things. So there are those people that say, don't talk about hasmada because it's not worth it. You know, the guy's going to really get into hasmada and he's not going to know where to draw the line. And then, chas v'shalom, you're going to get, and they are definitely right, better to battle an hour and be healthy than to learn an extra hour and then not learn it, not, and get sick and not learn at all. They're definitely right. That when in doubt, don't learn. Yes, that is correct. So, because if you're suffering that you might get sick from learning, you shouldn't learn. That's for sure. So that's one shita. And there were definitely people that held that way. I think Rabbi Trapper held that way, that we should not push hasmada in the yeshiva because it's dangerous. I always felt that that's a little bit like, it's like saying that there are people that got married and then they end up getting terrible problems because they had shalom bias problems, and therefore we should discourage marriage because we don't want to get the problems of chas v'shalom of a bad marriage. In other words, it's just, you can't do that. Rather, what you have to do is you have to give marriage courses how to make sure you have a good marriage. So I always felt that you can't not talk about hasmada, but you have to talk about hasmada and explain how to do hasmada without the dangers of what they call burnout or whatever. I don't know exactly what the problem is. So I want to try and explain that because that's very important. So I brought a show and tell. This is a sefer. It's the same sefer. It's called Binyan Olam. Right? The Binyan Olam is a sefer. It's considered the, it's a sefer about hasmada. Rabbi Trapper took this sefer off the shelf in Queens. He said it's too intense and it's not healthy to read the sefer. You can get too much burnout. You read the sefer, it talks about not wasting a second. You know, we have it here, because no one learns it here anyway, except for me. So, okay. So Rabbi Trapper said, took it off the shelf. He said it's too intense. I don't think in Queens you'll find a binyan item. But the person who wrote it obviously was a very big tzaddik. It doesn't have a name of actually who wrote it. It was printed without the name, except as Haskamas, the person who wrote it is a very impressive person. It was written in Tavshin Chav Zayin. That's 67. Chatzko Levins of Haskam, but we don't know who wrote it. Okay. The story is that I had a certain, bad habit, a mishigas that I had when I was in Israel, that I liked to buy svarim instead of from the author itself. So instead of buying a sefer from this bookstore, svarim store, it just was more geschmack. I don't know, you went straight to the mechaber and you bought his sefer. Maybe also you mechazik the mechaber, you give him all the money, goes to the mechaber, but I think it was just a mishigas I had. I liked it. So there was a certain sefer, I wanted to buy the svarim. There was a Rav Hominer who wrote a number of svarim. Rav Hominer was a famous tzaddik in Yerushalayim. He was already nifter, but his Rebbetzin was still alive. She was very old. So I went to their house, and somewhere in the middle of Mehe Sharim, to buy Rav Holminer's farm. Rebbetzin Holminer was in bed. She was in bed. She was, I assume she was very weak. But I went to her and asked her for the farm of her husband, and she called her son in, and they gave me the farm, whatever. Okay. So I talked to Rebbetzin Holminer a little bit, and I asked her if there are any Talmidim of her husband still alive. Rav Holminer himself was Nifra, I think, in the 50s, maybe in the 60s. I don't remember. I think the 50s already. No, maybe not. No, probably the 60s. Anyways, I asked her if any Talmidim of her husband still alive. So she said, well, there is one. His name is David Avrahami. I said, what does he do? He says, I don't know. He wrote some sefer, Binyan Oidam, I don't know. I said, so now I found out, see there's no name in here. I found out who the author is. So we went ahead and we got a phone book and we looked up David Avrahami. We found his phone number. We called him up and I went with David Chait to go. So we never met this person, right? This person who is Rabbi Trapper says that he's the most too intense. We can't take his sefer off the shelf, right? So we made an appointment to meet him. So I don't know who I'm going to, So we come to this, we make up to meet him in his shul next to his house. So there's this person, obviously a nice hadras upon him. He has his jacket off. His sleeves are rolled up. He's sitting there with a cup of tea. I'm telling you, the picture of relaxation. But that's the answer, right? That is the answer. He could write such a sefer about not wasting a second because he was super relaxed. In other words, you don't burn out if you're reading Lahavdu Elf Havdalahs. If a guy reads Harry Potter for 5 hours straight, you don't burn out, right? If you're relaxed when you're learning, you can do that for 5 hours straight and there's no problem. Relax means that you're happy. Relax. If someone would interrupt you and to ask you a question, you don't snap at him. You don't sit there. I know I can't do my body language, but and if you look like you're about to explode. There are people that when they learn, they're so tense up. There's so much tension. You can't keep tension for too long, and that's unhealthy because they're so tense. I can't waste a second. That's where it's very unhealthy, and that's when you get burnout. But if you're able to learn, in a certain sense, lahavdil, I'm learning. I mean, Gemara is beautiful. It's enjoyable. So why can't I do an enjoyable thing for hours straight? So then you don't get, so the secret of, and I saw this in many, not just with Avrahami, I saw this with many, many Gedolim. That the Gedolim, everyone talked about Rav Moshe, Gedolim are very relaxed. They're not tense. They're very happy people. They're not, Rav Shiva was very happy, but it's not just Rav Shiva. Rav Shia was, I knew, was his sorcerer, was a super masmid. They're also one of the happiest people in the world. Tension is unhealthy. A person, if you're tense when you learn, you should take a break. You should take a walk, go outside and battle. But if you can learn without tension, then you don't have to worry about burnout. So that's I think a very big insight. That we hold of asmada, we don't hold of tension. We don't hold of being nerve. I used to learn with Rav Blazer Plashinsky. He used to sit on a beach chair, not sitting chair, lie in a beach chair while he used to learn with me. Okay, it's a little bit long story because he did not use electricity. So I used to eat shower shudders at his house, and after the shower shudders, it was pitch dark in his house. So he used to like to lie in his beach chair. After Shavuot Shudas, wait till Ma'ariv on his porch, a little breeze, and we were talking learning. But you know, like, you know, he was considered, he was supposed to be the Rosh Yeshiva Panovich. He was, you know, he was never, he turned it down, whatever. But he was a pretty chashuv person. Anyway, so the ma'isa, that's a secret. We hold of asmada, but we don't hold of nervousness. We don't hold of being tense. If a person asks you a question, even if he battles you in the middle of Seder, if you get angry at him, that's bad. Because that means you're tense. You have to be relaxed. But if you're relaxed, you can be mastered. Okay. Anyway, how does one work on hasmada? So,
maybe let's say you don't appreciate learning. Does that mean that you shouldn't be awesome?
No, it means it's harder for you.
But
I have a secret for you. We said this already. I said this when I was talking Musar with I don't remember when it was this week, right after Musar, that most people don't appreciate learning, especially at the young age. You know? Even people that became big Talmid Chachamim when they started, they don't appreciate learning. And even people who do are big time coming, it's not shot that they every second of the day they appreciate learning.
So then you shouldn't be like a crazy mosman if you don't appreciate learning.
I didn't say that. Why?
But then you're not gonna be relaxed or whatever.
No, why can't you be relaxed? You can be relaxed. You can be relaxed, but you're learning.
So it's like
this is my job. You have a job, you have to do your job. But I'm relaxed about it. I'm not nerve-radic. It doesn't, I mean, it's not mukhluk. Obviously, if you enjoy your learning, it's easier to avoid burnout. And if you don't enjoy it, there's more of a danger. Yes, I agree. But it's theoretically, it's a separate thing. I'm not pushing. I have to be also careful of burnout. But I'm saying the main secret is to be relaxed about it. It's not a dinner whether you enjoy it. It's about whether you relax.
What do you do? What if you do your chavrusa snaps at you?
Then you tell him to take a walk. Tell him, I think, it's not healthy. You're too uptight. Take a walk, and you're about to go relax. Go take a break for 10 minutes and come back when you're relaxed.
Would that be like about when they say for that?
Yeah, okay. That's a nice Gemara. Is there anything? Yes.
That's it.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Let me try and get. So I wanted to make a suggestion, and I'm working on Asmada. This is not my suggestion. There's a famous thing. It's a brought down a famous thing that in Kelm they had a 1 minute Seder. Many people heard that. I didn't hear that from anybody. I learned in Kelm, by the way, but that's the world says that. That in Kelm they had a 1 minute Seder. Why did they have like a 1 minute Seder? Because they wanted to teach the appreciation of time. I think that's a very Gevaldic thing. Meaning is that many people, you see, in other words, let's say you're learning. You're learning for afternoon Seder. Okay, you need a break. It's understandable. You need a break. We're not such tzaddikim yet. I need to take 10 minutes off and go out and schmooze. I need to have a cake break. But as long as the break is, you're taking a break because you need a break, that's fine. But regretfully, sometimes we battle not because we need a break, but because we don't value the learning. See, there's a difference. If you're battling because you need a break, I want to make sure I don't burn out, I want to be relaxed, I want to be happy. It's. They say, they quote the Steiper, that one of the things that Torah Niknes Bo is Mietzicha. It's healthy sometimes to schmooze. Believe it or not, that's one of the Steiper says, sometimes you should schmooze. It's also relaxing, and it's, So that's okay, but when you're battling because you're not machshav learning, that's not okay. So it's important at least to work on appreciating learning. That's like the first step. Maybe I'm not on the level that I can actually go ahead and learn straight. But at least to reach the level that I appreciate it, right? I was saying over, I said over in Shir today, it was a very nice word, but I don't have time to say it. But I said over in Shir that Rav Brook used to say that there's a story, there's Nasa v'Nishma. Sometimes we can't do the Nasa, but we have to do the Nishma. means we can't actually be the master, you know, like Rabbi can. I don't think you guys can be like Rabbi Kanak. I'm sorry. And I don't know if you should try and be like guys. No, you can't. But you can at least hear and be inspired and say, I wish I could be. That's in that nishma. So in order to have the nishma, you have to have at least the appreciation that it, how learning every minute is gewaldic. Practically, I'm not holding there yet. I can't do it. But a lot of people don't appreciate what's the big deal of learning an extra minute. So at least we have to knock into our head that 1 minute of learning is amazing. Why is 1 minute of learning amazing? Yeah, because you make the mathematical cheshbon, Chofetz Chaim makes, you get a mitzvah for every word. In 1 minute, you can say how many words? Basically, about 50, I don't know, somehow 100 words or so in a minute. And every word of Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, which is times 613. So you're getting the equivalent of, let's say, 100 times 613 in 1 minute. It's a lot of mitzvahs, right? And it's really more, even though it says it's Keneged Kulam, doesn't mean it's only Keneged Kulam. I saw somewhere Rav Aaron Cutler said, there are people that take off learning to go to a wedding, to a Semeh Chasen Vekawa. So if you're doing it because I need to relax, fine. The guy needs to relax, he needs a break. But he says, the guy says, I'm doing it because the Shem Mitzvah, I want to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Chasen Vekawa. So they said, Rav Aaron told him, you can dance at every Chasenah, from Sheshes Yimei Breshes till today, and you're not going to get the same amount of schar if you do 1 minute of learning. You know, so the mice that we have to appreciate what a learning is. They say the Chofetz Chaim had shoes and without shoelaces, intentionally, not because they were in style, but because he didn't want to have to spend a minute tying his shoelaces to take off. He didn't want to lose a minute of time, because it's an extra minute, and minute saved is an extra minute learning. He didn't want to give up a minute of learning, so he got shoes without shoelaces. So I'm making a suggestion that in order to knock this Musar concept in, and I think this is very safe without having to worry about burnout, is we make an effort to learn a minute. In other words, you know, you do the Kelm system, make a minute Seder somewhere, or when there's a minute of Batoa to learn, right? Sometimes you're in a place where there's like, you know, there's a break for a minute. You know, I don't know. You're in yeshiva. I mean, we don't hear. We don't. This year we don't have the long Misha Beirachs because we don't have too much. You know, they're not the high school. But let's say that we have long Misha Beirachs at the laning. Okay, so you learn during the Misha Beirach. No one's gonna burn out because you're learning during the Misha Beirachs, right? But it's the fact that you do that. Is a knocks into your head that a minute of learning is important. Because if you find a place during the day where there's a minute that's just being wasted, and it could be a minute before you go to sleep, a minute before after Maariv, a minute that I say, you know, it used to be when I first came here, we don't have this anymore, especially this year, they used to have announcements after davening. And when I first came here, they used to have all the high school announcements. And it used to take like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, all the high school announcements. I told them I had to put an end to that. They said, we have to be smashed up. This is all the high school announcements. But they still used to have last year some announcements. So if I, you know, okay, I'm going to learn during the announcements. I don't know. I'm going to learn when it's breakfast starts at 5 to 9. I'm going to go till 4 to 9, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, you find yourself an extra minute, it's a very nice thing, because it's a way of teaching yourself that a minute of learning is important. That doesn't mean, I'm saying, right, it doesn't mean you're going, you know, that doesn't, there's no problem of burnout, because I'm not saying learn, you're just learning one extra minute. But the meta, you come to the realization that a minute is valuable. And then, when there are times that you're not, see, once you're machshavet, so there'll be times that you'll learn more. You come Shabbos afternoon, and it's not a question of burnout, but you're just not learning because you're not in the mood. But if you taught yourself that a minute of learning is important, then you're more likely to learn. Okay, so that is a suggestion, that we should try and find a minute somewhere to go and learn. The Chafetz Chaim has a different suggestion, then I'll let you people go. Chafetz Chaim has a suggestion that everyone should learn something Baal Peh. He says it's a very important thing. Why is it very important?
So this way when you have free time,
Safer. Because he says very often a person is in a situation where he has no safer. A person goes to a doctor's office. You're sitting there you can sit there waiting for hours. And sometimes you don't have a safer with you. You're sitting on a bus. And so it's not that you're not learning because you're doing nothing. You're on a bus, you're on a train, so he said if you have something that you know Baal Peh, so you can learn that. You can repeat it over 20 times. That's okay. That's fakir. Then you know it better out there. So the Chofetz Chaim was very big on that. That a person should have, there's something that you can learn about best so that in yeshiva, hopefully you learn as much as you can learn, and fine. But when you're something outside yeshiva, there are some times that you're just, it's almost you wish you had a safer with you. You're sitting there in the doctor's office, and you, instead of learning, you pick up some stupid magazine, which is, not kosher, probably, who knows what, If I had a safer, but I didn't bring a safer with me, so now what am I supposed to do? I'm just sitting there doing nothing. And the doctor can keep you waiting, so who knows? So Chofetz Chaim says it's a very, something learned. A lot of people used to learn Pirkei Avos Baal Peh. Pirkei Avos, not such a hard thing to learn Baal Peh. You learn a few Mishnahs Baal Peh, and then you repeat it over, and then you learn a few more. But he said that it's very good if there's something that you know about Peh, also helps a great deal for us, Mad. Okay. All right, Yeshikayach, everyone.